Blog Talk Radio.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
I'm Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Russ and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our show. See you then.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello to all you something duckers out there. The CEO of Leisnick demanded I shoot a holiday video. We need to promote everyone getting their Leisnick boosters every week. All you nimwits and rubes just keep taking it. But Mr. G, Globalist wants me to be nicer to you since this will be your last holiday season on Earth. By the way, we now have the suicide pods available for rental. Before you enjoy your last breath in a suicide pod, we need you scallywags to get tested for COVID. You must be completely up to date on your vaccine passport. Absolutely no exceptions. When you step into the suicide pod, we do not want you to catch COVID. You must also wear at least 5 scams on your face, with a minimum of 2 of your scams being an N95. After you take a final breath on Earth, we will give you another COVID test. both before and after your trip to the suicide pod. You will be required to go through the TSI naked body scan. We need to make sure you're not hiding any ivermectin, Federal Reserve notes, or carbon inside your person. For all we know, you could be a something ducker that likes to hide Nuremberg code inside your junk. We need to keep you comfortable and safe. Also, please remember, when your person turns to ashes and dust, please do make sure you are still keeping with local social distance and guidelines. You must still keep your ashes 6 feet away from the previous customer. If you refuse to get in the suicide pod, we will take you to the local FEMA camp. That is all and have a holiday season.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. Ronna Romney McDaniel.
Your uncle ran for president. So did your grandpa.
My dad had run for attorney general, and I thought, I've got to go get into party politics.
What's up, guys? Boy, Benny. Donald Trump can't fix everything, but hot damn, can he fix some of the things under his control? And the RNC is completely and totally under Donald Trump's control. Donald Trump is effectively the Republican Party. Donald Trump is winning by historic margins in Iowa and New Hampshire, and will go on a romp to win the first time in American history, first time in Republican Party history, all 50 states. That is what will happen. Doesn't matter what Nikki Haley has to chirp about it on SNL. That's what Donald Trump's going to do, and so Donald Trump is effectively the Republican Party at this moment. And that is why it is extremely heartening to see Donald Trump calling for change at the RNC. Trump meets with Ron McDaniel and then says he'll be recommending RNC changes. I'm sorry, I misspoke here. Ronna McRomney. It is important to remind everyone, she is a Romney. That name has been sullied and salted and has been utterly cast out into the darkness in our party. She is a Romney. She's a known loser, a known grifter, and a wretched person, by the way. I just know this because I know a lot of people who work for her. Donald Trump met with RNC committee woman, chairwoman, Ronna McRomney, Monday, day after former president said he expects there to be changes at the RNC in a meeting which took place at Mar-a-Lago. Was confirmed by two people familiar with the discussion. After the meeting, Trump wrote a post on Truth Social that McDaniel was his friend, but said he'd be calling for changes to the committee following the South Carolina GOP primary on the 24th of February. Ronna is now head of the RNC. I'll be making a decision the day after the South Carolina primary on my recommendations for RNC growth. The RNC is, of course, broke as a joke. Trump handpicked McRomney to run the RNC shortly after the 2016 election victory, but the two have not been really close since. Top Republicans, meanwhile, have raised concerns about the party's finances heading into the general election. The RNC ended 2023 with just $8 million cash on hand, less than half as much as the Democratic National Committee, and they've been unable to raise any funds since. Holy smokes. What exactly has the RNC been spending their money on, by the way? Let's go ahead and check here. Ronna McRomney's RNC seeks a new line of credit to climb out of the money hole. So we're going to sit here and talk as a party about fiscal responsibility. And yet the RNC is spending $3 million on private jet services, $1.3 million on limousine chauffeur services, $17 million on donor mementos, $750,000 on floral arrangements, $80,000 on alcohol-related expenditures, and $400,000 on luxury entertainment. Does that sound like a political party that is interested in winning or a slush fund? For this wicked witch, this person in our party, God bless Donald Trump for finally coming out and saying it. Changes at the RNC must be made, and really the only guy who can truly call for it, there's one man on earth that could truly make this happen. Because Ronna McRomney was voted in a corrupt vote. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump saying, changes now.
Comerica says Michigan GOP defaulted on a loan of $500,000.
So I have a lot of money. And the money that they get, people are not looking at the RNC. They want changes. You have to understand, I have nothing to do with the RNC. I'm separate.
How's Ronna McDaniel doing?
I think she did great when she ran Michigan for me. I think she did okay initially in the RNC. I would say right now there'll probably be some changes made.
Good. Thank God. Check out this article from Red State. Great reporting here. Analysis shows RNC spent millions on jets and limos and luxury retreats and Broadway shows. That's right. So Miss Karen over here, who's actually, without doubt, actually like a leftist liberal, and we can prove that, in fact, a metropolitan, feminist, leftist, suburban, screechy, mean intersectional feminist is what Ronna McRomney is. And she's awful. She's no better than her uncle, Mitt Romney. Ladies and gentlemen, upon taking the role at the RNC, Ronna McRomney went on CNN, went scurrying over to CNN. This is, by the way, a trend for Ronna McRomney to love running to corporate press and to spit whatever stupidity she has on camera. Ronna McRomney runs to CNN to talk smack about the number of white men that have preceded her in this role. Watch.
What do these pictures have in common?
Let's see.
I don't know. Yeah, there is a familiar theme here. I'm very happy to add a feminine touch to this wall.
The Republican National Committee has a new face with a familiar name, Ronna Romney McDaniel.
Your uncle ran for president. So did your grandpa.
Yeah, and my mom ran for Senate, and my dad had run for attorney general, and I thought, I've got to go get into party politics so I can figure out how to win and get some of my family members across the finish.
Yeah, so there you go. There's your intersectionality for you, okay? When Vivek Ramaswamy destroyed Ronna McDaniel during the debate, in the open of the debate, calling on Ronna McRomney to resign live on stage, to end the losing of the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is lost in 2018, lost in 2020, lost in 2022, and now continues to lose in all of the subsequent elections, all because of Ronna McRomney. So Vivek says, no, she needs to resign. Ladies and gentlemen, hot fire.
Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020. 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will turn over my, yield my time to you.
In response to that, Ronna McRomney calls Vivek, trashes him, saying he won't get a cent from us. Well, you have no money to give anyway, lady. She trashed Vivek, called him an a-hole, saying he won't get a cent. He's a total a-hole, a total a-hole. He's desperate because he's doing bad in the poll. Mean girls. Despicable. Truly. She is a repulsive person, an absolutely awful individual. Nobody likes Ronna McRomney. In the worst interview I've ever heard a single human being give in American history, when asked to respond to Vivek calling for her to resign, Ronna McRomney decided to metaphorically light herself on fire
get onto a steaming train carrying flaming manure and to fling herself into the Grand Canyon in this interview on Laura Ingraham's show. I mean, this is so cringe. Again, it is hard to even watch in the great expanse of a couple months, you know, this happened to go. It still makes your skin crawl to this day. Watch Ronna McRomney try and save herself and do even far more damage.
All right, joining me now, Ronna McDaniel, chairwoman of the Republican National Committee. Ronna, thanks so much for being with us. Vivek and others are saying that under your leadership, Republicans have lost election after election and positing the question, you know, why should you retain your job given the track record of the party under your leadership? And to that, what do you say?
Well, first, I'm going to continue to focus on Joe Biden and Democrats. And I think there was a moment missed during that debate by Vivek to talk about the fact that we still have 13 American hostages in Israel, the fact that for the first time ever in the history of either party, we had a Jewish co-sponsor for a debate, and we are in very perilous times in our country. And I do think Republican voters, and I hear this echoed all the time, are tired of the circular firing squad within our party, and they're saying, can we please talk about Joe Biden and the Democrats and the border and fentanyl and crime and what's happening to our kids and inflation? But I'll definitely defend my record as chair. Listen,
yeah, I mean, Ronna, I agree with you. Let me just say, I mean, all that you just said, I couldn't agree with more. But and you're right. I mean, obviously that should be a key focus. But I know you believe in accountability. You talk about it all the time. I mean, everyone. I mean, I'm accountable.
So
you're right.
Some accountability.
Okay, that's what I asked you, and you went into another, another.
Yeah, I was going to go there. Sorry, I took too long on the answer, but I was getting there. I'm not trying to avoid anything.
All
Let
right.
me promise you that, Laura. Listen, when Vivek didn't vote in 2016, I was leading Michigan to the first win in history in 30 years. In 2018, we defied the odds. We got three senators, people like Josh Hawley, that allowed President Trump to build the largest conservative majority on the Supreme Court. In 2022, the RNC, which is a turnout machine, right? We're not the messengers. We don't create the messages for the campaigns. Those are the consultants who get very, very well paid.
Well, one of the things, Ronna, that happened was, I think in Virginia, people were wondering where the money was, whether they were going to get some help from the RNC. And I know at one point you said that you were not asked for money in Virginia, but a source, a Republican source familiar with the Youngkin team in Virginia, told The Angle late tonight that is false. And meaning your story keeps changing. Anyone who thinks Virginia Republicans wouldn't want help when we knew we'd be outspent isn't being serious. You know, Ronna, they were outspent by $8 million.
Glenn Youngkin and did a phenomenal job, and he raised a lot of money. A lot of people don't understand fundraising. I can't raise state dollars. I don't get unlimited convention and state dollars. And these were state House and state Senate races. The RNC is a federal committee. So, I mean, come on. Can you just
all right.
These are people who come after me all the time. They're on Twitter. They're all the time. And let's see their results. What did they do in Virginia? How much money did they give? But let me stand by something else. In 2022,
Ronna,
we took back the House, and the RNC is part of that. We're building the road, and we're launching Bank Your Vote. We've got to do that.
Ronna, we
got to
roll, but
early.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We have a lot more to get to next.
So she is, obviously, the most unpopular GOP chair in my lifetime, not even close. Michael Steele was the GOP chair for a while. This is a guy who's like an MSNBC commentator, like a straight-up Democrat at this point. Next journalist interviewing Ronna McDaniel should ask her about this. The fact that it's been hundreds of days since Scott Pressler asked Ronna McRomney for assistance. Look at this. This is Scott Pressler. Every single day, Scott Pressler asks. This is amazing. GOP chairwoman for a response. What are you doing to actually help win? Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Honest question. Should Ronna McRomney resign as GOP chairwoman? And, of course, everyone says yes. Every single person in the comment section says yes, except for this person. it's Ronna's burner. How does Ronna McRomney still have a job? Fire Ronna now? Totally useless. Ronna McRomney should resign following tonight's general election results. She's done nothing to this day to secure our elections from voter fraud, registration fraud, and mail-in balloting fraud. Correct. Ronna McRomney McDaniel should probably just go ahead and resign. Correct. Look at everyone calling for the result. You can't consistently fail at your job and keep the position, unless, of course, you're Ronna McRomney. Yes, Romney's literally fail somehow backwards upwards. If Ronna McRomney is not fired from a role at RNC, then accountability is truly dead. You cannot consistently fail at your job. Something must be done. What exactly does Ronna McRomney do besides lose? She should resign, effective immediately. When will she be fired? The entire internet, man. Like, seriously. Trending. Republicans are calling for Ronna McRomney to resign following the election nightmare. Resign. Trending on X. So, ladies and gentlemen, the verdict is clear. Nobody likes Ronna McRomney. I don't think even Ronna McRomney likes Ronna McRomney. And so it is worth noting that Donald Trump, on the right side of this issue, let us hasten the end of this primary process and get on with the business of actually having a proper political party to fight the Marxists, to fight the communists, to fight like this, the most perilous war our country's ever been in, and your fighter is a woman who actually quite literally hates the Republican Party. Not a great choice. But we can do better. It's your boy, Benny. Like, share, and subscribe. Vivek Ramaswamy for RNC chair? I don't know. Tucker Carlson for RNC chair? I don't know. Move the RNC out of D.C. All of these things. I have so many suggestions. We'll do that in another video. See ya.
Hey guys, welcome to the Liberal Hive Mind, a channel solely focused on exposing the abundant hypocrisy of the left. Well, I guess not so much today. I don't really need to do too much work, because Liberal Bill Maher did all the work for me. Remember this little letter that we covered a couple weeks ago? Joe Biden's letter to the American people saying, "Listen, Jack, listen, Corn Pop, I'm serious about securing the border. I just need $100 billion for Ukraine. And let's sprinkle in a little bit for Israel, too. Sign on that bill and give me more executive power to shut down the border, and that's the way it's going to work, okay, Jack? That's how we're going to secure the border, because I really care about border security, having seen my track record over the last 3 years. A little bit sarcastic, but that's essentially the TLDR. That's the summation of the letter. We read it, and I was like, well, that's kind of the dumbest thing I've ever read in my life, even though all the leftist shills posting this as if it's a serious commitment to securing the border from Biden. Give me a frickin' break. If Joe Biden wanted to actually secure the border, he'd literally just do so. It's not like he doesn't have the ability. All he has to do is literally just work with the state of Texas to get the frickin' job done, as Trump has promised in his campaigning.
When I'm president, instead of trying to send Texas a restraining order, I will send them reinforcements.
But anyways, Joe Biden's been saying this a lot as of late. Just give me the power, Jack.
All I can do is just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office.
Just give me the power and I'll do the job. That's what he keeps saying. What he means is give him executive control to open and close the border at will. What an absolute tyrant nutcase. But anyways, we call this nonsense out already. The claim that Republicans are voting against border security by voting against this bill is absolutely ridiculous. The only people who support this bill are people like Lindsey Graham and Mitt Romney. In other words, Democrats. We called it all out, but now it's someone else's turn. Bill Maher, I guess, is stepping in to call out his own party, essentially saying the exact same thing I've been saying. Let me show you guys exactly what I mean by that. We got some stuff to get into, so let's roll the tape. Alright guys, well don't you just love it when leftists put their own party in their place. Bill Maher slams Biden for claiming that he needs additional powers to secure the border, quote, already has existing laws.
Part two of the acting is Joe Biden saying, you know what, if you just give me a new law, why doesn't the president can fix this? He already has the existing law.
And Border Patrol will tell you that right to your face.
I need a piece of paper from Congress to deal with the border. No, you already have that.
Bill Maher's correct. This is all so silly, the president can fix this, he just chooses not to. There's already existing laws. Here we go, it literally took me 2 seconds. Found this on Wikipedia. Improper entry. Section 1325 in Title 8 of the United States Code, improper entry of alien, provides for a fine, imprisonment, or both, For any non-citizen who enters or attempts to enter the United States at any time or place other than as designated by immigration agents. Or, we're seeing over 3 million people cross the border improperly. And the number is definitely much higher than that, if you count unknown gotaways and even known gotaways. So in other words, you have over 3 million people breaking U.S. law every year, and a president using federal power to essentially let it go on and not enforce the laws themselves. If you have an asylum claim, you go to a legal point of entry. You communicate with immigration authorities, get a court date, and go through the proper process. You don't cross the Rio Grande. That's not the proper way of doing things, and here's the disconnect. You have illegal migrants who are doing things incorrectly, improperly, illegally, and in most cases fraudulently. 99% don't have actual legitimate claims of asylum. They're attempting to fraud the asylum system. So what they're doing is illegitimate, but Joe Biden consists on making the illegitimate process legitimate by funneling people who are breaking the law into the legal asylum process, wasting taxpayer dollars on bogus asylum requests, not to mention all the taxpayer dollars being wasted on housing and every other logistical element here. And so essentially, Joe Biden is actively working to subvert American border laws, all the while saying, well, what I really need is just give me more power, bro. They're not going to fix it. It makes no sense. And even Bill Maher is honest enough to admit that fact. Joe Biden doesn't need new powers to secure the border. The powers already exist. Joe Biden just needs to get with the program and accept that Texas is right. Joe claims he doesn't have the power to secure the southern border. Well, maybe, just maybe, help Texas put up the border wall. Border wall construction is now ongoing. Texas Governor Greg Abbott escalates border battle with Biden. Well, let's see what Joe's going to do. Most likely, he's going to take Greg Abbott to the Supreme Court and attempt to stop him from building the border wall. Joe Biden doesn't need new powers. Joe Biden just needs to do his frickin' job. Not to mention all the monies left over from the Trump administration, specifically allocated for building the southern border wall. What did Joe Biden do pretty much day one while in office? Of course, we know, Joe Biden pulled that funding for the border wall construction. Again, Joe Biden doesn't need new powers. Joe Biden needs brain power. What we need is brain power in general coming from the Democrat Party. We need less of this nonsense.
Once again, the majority is wasting our time by putting forward a piece of legislation that has zero chance of becoming law. The bill says that a conviction for a single DUI offense, misdemeanor or felony, makes you instantly deportable, and an admission to such an offense makes you instantly inadmissible, no questions asked. I certainly don't think that's a good use of our resources. It's certainly not a good use of our time on this floor. But my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have made it clear that they're not interested in sensible solutions, just in sensationalism. This bill is another example of that. And I hope my colleagues will stop referring to people as illegals. People are human beings. They have different statuses. Some are undocumented. If you want to say some are illegal, but let's not call human beings illegal. I'm tired of that language.
Democrat Representative Pramila Jayapal says, stop referring to people as illegals. People are human beings. They have different statuses. Some are undocumented. In other words, attempting to normalize the idea of undocumented people living equally with equal rights in the United States. How utterly absurd. Everyone just come. There's no such thing as illegal migration. You aren't an alien. You're just an undocumented person. It's a different identity. Let's open the borders and bring 200 million undocumented. Why not? What harm could that possibly cause to social cohesion and the American economy? You know, I'm being sarcastic and kind of just laughing it off because it's really the only appropriate response. I need to go on a whole monologue explaining why state sovereignty is important and should be respected. You know, what if Americans just decided to start invading Mexico? Why not? 20 million American citizens decide that they want to march over the southern border and take over Mexico City. Is that also perfectly acceptable and woke? Is that the world that we want to live in? Just invade countries willy-nilly as you see fit. You know that job that you've been eyeing out there in London? You want to live the London dream? Well, just go. What's stopping you? You don't need a work visa. You don't need a path towards permanent residence. Just go and take the job. Go and work. Go and take somebody's house while you're at it. Because walls are racist. And anybody who has a wall around them is a bigoted racist. Yeah, let's just abolish walls. Or walls, they're just arbitrary objects of social patriarchy. Or whatever pseudo-intellectual nonsense jargon the left spews. Walls are racist, therefore your home is now an open border. Sarcasm is the only appropriate argument here. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. It's stupid. Close the damn border. Deport illegal migrants. The laws are already on the books. Joe Biden doesn't get to now get credit for attempting to secure the border, and it's actually the Republicans that are trying to stop him. Joe Biden's an absolute fool. Joe Biden's the core of the problem. The Democrat establishment's the core of the problem, and I think that fact is pretty damn clear. Anyways, that's pretty much what I got for you guys on this one. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to leave a like and possibly subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.
Oh, wow! Wow!
What's up, guys? Boy, Benny. Pattern recognition is what we do on this program. We don't claim to be particularly intelligent. We're just alive, and we notice things. I'm sure you do, too, and it's comforting when people notice the same things. And we're beginning to notice a pattern in the totalitarian regime that we currently live under. Totalitarian regimes cannot rule without fear. They must have force. The power of force and a monopoly on violence is actually how governments maintain and retain power. Fear. And so when they see people who aren't supposed to endorse Donald Trump endorsing Donald Trump, when they see people who should be endorsing Joe Biden refusing to, they act with cutthroat and cold-blooded efficiency. Let me bring you just one example here. This is a member of Congress. She is known as Cori Bush. She's a member of the squad. She was asked if she wishes to endorse Joe Biden for president in 2024, and here's how she answered.
Joe Biden run for a second term?
She's going to go.
Yeah, that's an easy question. That's not going to take long. Do you want to see Joe
Biden
run?
I don't want to answer that question because we have not – I don't want to answer that question.
Okay.
I mean, he's the president, and he has the right to run for a second term. Absolutely. I'd rather you not do that.
You got like 2 minutes to get the car.
Yeah, I know. I got to get to the.
Well, thanks very much.
The other thing.
I got to get to the other thing. Well, that wasn't received very lightly or kindly by the regime, who boom smacked Cori Bush. Yes, that's right. A woke black member of the squad, Socialist Democrat, the Department of Justice did a massive rollout of this huge investigation into her and, well, what looks like is going to be a massive indictment for misuse of funds. Now, Cori Bush probably definitely misused funds. Most members of Congress misuse funds. All members of Congress are straight-up criminals, but they're going after Cori Bush specifically. Is it because she didn't endorse Joe Biden? It leaves the mind to wonder. Cori Bush blames right-wing organizations for DOJ investigation and says she needs $750,000 security detail in order to deal with relentless threats. Cori Bush is now officially under investigation by Joe Biden's DOJ. Yeah, the problem is, Cori, you got the wrong enemy there. It's actually your own team. You didn't sufficiently endorse Joe Biden. And therefore, you are probably a bigger enemy than people like me who endorse Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you to last night. Last night, there's a rapper who's a very popular rapper. His name's Killer Mike. Now, whatever. Sounds like there's like a Key and Peele episode about naming yourself Killer Mike, right? And rapping about your crimes. But whatever. Okay. I don't know much about Killer Mike's career. Here's what I know. Killer Mike had a great night at the Grammys last night. He won Best Rap Album, Best Rap Performance, and Best Rap Song. That's a killer night for Killer Mike. And then he got arrested. Killer Mike then gets arrested. Here's footage of him getting dragged away from the Grammys, where he got tons of those little gold horn things. And Killer Mike saying, "Are you serious?" to the officers, so they escorted him out of the building. Ladies and gentlemen, now, here's where the pattern recognition comes in. First off, let me play you the clip of Killer Mike getting arrested.
God is good. You can't tell me, cannot tell me that you get too old. You can't tell me it's too late.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What the f***?
Tell us about you.
Hey, pay attention to the white, to the stiff as a board white guy standing there in the corner, please. Far right of your screen. This is hysterical. You will cry and die laughing. Sorry. Just comedic break here for a second. Look at that guy. This guy. Some Nepo trust fund baby. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sven. Killer Mike really knows that you stand in solidarity as he gets arrested. Great job. Great job, Sven. Unbelievable. Okay, anyway, so cringeworthy. Of course, I didn't watch the Grammys, but I find this very interesting. Here's where the pattern recognition comes in, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and check in on what Killer Mike was doing just hours before his arrest. Bill Maher shocked as Killer Mike refuses to endorse Joe Biden. Oh, yeah, Killer Mike was on Bill Maher's show. Comedian Bill Maher seemed taken aback when rapper Killer Mike declined to endorse Biden. Donald Trump. What? Oh, baby. Bill Maher begs Killer Mike to endorse Joe Biden. Begs him. Killer Mike refuses. Let's watch the tape.
What are your feelings on the election coming up? I mean, Biden and Trump, are you as depressed about that as most people as a choice?
My feeling is pick your policy, not your person. Close your eyes, listen to the policies that are being pushed, and
you can't get yourself to say vote for Biden over Trump?
You want me to list it now? So now
I'm just saying that.
Can he get himself to apologize for the crime bill? Can he get himself to get his head out of his and say, black people, you are black regardless. I need you to tell me what I need to do. Can he pick a coalition of former people who are affected by drug laws, street gangs, recidivism and crime and say, I need you as a board to advise me how to fix federal prisons? If he can do that, absolutely I can. So my challenge is out there.
There you go. I mean, that seems really quite natural and honest of a thing to say. Close your eyes. Don't look at the party. Don't look at the person. Look at the politics and the policies of that person. Most especially, look at the results of that person. The results for Joe Biden, of course, have been horrible for the black community. Joe Biden's been horrible to the black community. Joe Biden locked up hundreds of thousands of young black men. Maybe he just locked up Killer Mike for noticing the fact that all of these young black men went to jail for maximum minimums sentencing for having a scintilla of crack on them, yet Joe Biden's own white kid has never gone to jail. Here's Joe Biden.
Piece of crack cocaine.
Oh, okay.
No bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand. $0.25. We passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others, a law that says if you're caught with that, you go to jail for 5 years. You get no probation. You get nothing other than 5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice.
5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice. So maybe that's why Killer Mike and a lot of other black people are a little pissed off at Joe Biden. I'm not the only one noticing this, by the way. Rapper Killer Mike got arrested in Los Angeles just days after denouncing Democrats and implying he would be voting for Trump. His whereabouts are unknown. Here we go. 2 days ago on Bill Maher, Killer Mike refused to endorse Biden. Tonight, he's arrested at the Grammys. What's going on? Killer Mike was on Bill Maher 2 nights ago and refused to endorse Biden. Last night, he was hauled off out of the Grammys in handcuffs. I ain't saying nothing. Very interesting. Killer Mike was just arrested 2 days after he refused to endorse Joe Biden on Bill Maher's show. Well, you better bend the knee to the regime, or else the regime will come for you. And Killer Mike and Joe Biden don't have a great history together. In the year 2020, when Joe Biden was desperate to get any support that he possibly could because Joe Biden was losing in catastrophic fashion, he came in fourth in Iowa, fifth in New Hampshire. Killer Mike comes out and endorses Joe Biden's chief rival, Bernie Sanders.
It's pretty good. Mike could come up, Mike. Mike could. Mike is fine. That's
yeah,
what you call
right.
me.
Yeah, that's what I do call you. I don't, you know, this killer business. That's me.
Oh, man, I hope y'all got some B-roll.
So this is the Bernie and Killer Mike. This was produced by the campaign.
I've known for the last 3 years, 3-4 years of my life. I can honestly say that your integrity propels and compels me to keep supporting you.
Your policy is the only policy that I have seen in my lifetime that matches up with the policy of what was the Poor People's Campaign. It is the only policy that matches up with what's fair and just.
Let me just pick up on one point you made. And a lot of people don't know this. At the end of his life, not only did Dr. King get murdered in Memphis, where he was not on a quote-unquote civil rights effort, he was standing with some of the most exploited black workers in America.
Absolutely.
And he said, I'm going to go down there and help you form a union and get decent wages and decent working conditions. That's where he was murdered. And at that same time, what he was also doing, he's trying to put together a poor people's campaign.
Absolutely.
So, ladies and gentlemen, not allowed to talk about MLK's murder. Not allowed to endorse Joe Biden's chief rival. Sir, we have consequences for people that stand too harshly against the regime. Killer Mike is charged with battery following citizen's arrest at the Grammys? Following confrontation with security guard after rapper won 3 awards? Hold on. Why are security guards going after Killer Mike when he's like the biggest winner of the night? Wouldn't the guy have his own security guards? They have his own protection? The official explanation makes even less sense. Killer Mike was taken away in handcuffs by LAPD officers at the Grammys. The 48-year-old rapper won 3 awards. The LAPD spokesman told the Daily Mail that the man was being questioned, but they cannot confirm his identity to provide further details. Again, this is so unbelievably strange. At 4 p.m., an adult male was taken into custody for physical altercation that took place inside the arena. The altercation happened moments before the person was arrested. Killer Mike was handcuffed. Right now it's a preliminary investigation for battery. Oh, really? That's quite fascinating that you're arresting. You decided to arrest this guy who just won all of the awards, but they want to arrest any of the straight-up criminals who cross our border. They won't arrest people with, like, criminal backgrounds who are on the terrorist watch list that cross into our country. We know that now officially, that the Border Patrol released people that are on the terrorist watch list into our country. But Killer Mike gets arrested. Really. Days after saying that Joe Biden ain't it, and, like, effectively a de facto endorsement of Donald Trump. Quite interesting, ladies and gentlemen, this. We'll keep following this story. We'll keep recognizing patterns like this. We'll keep paying attention. And you deserve to know if you live inside of a fascistic totalitarian state. And holy moly, that's what it looks like. I don't think, in conclusion, this is going to help Killer Mike endorse Joe Biden. I think this is going to make Killer Mike and all of the people who follow his work, much like Snoop Dogg, Waka Flocka, Lil Pump, 50 Cent. This is going to make them, like, go even harder for Donald Trump. That's right.
Senators are grilling the CEOs of social media companies in order to implement, they say, new child safety laws to protect children. All of us want to protect children, but is that the aim of the government, or is this about control of social media? Cast your mind back now. Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining us on our voyage to truth and freedom. Remember, we make exclusive content every week for members of our Awakened Wonder community. So click the link in the description to get access to that content, as well as to be able to attend interviews live with brilliant journalists and pose questions to them. We're posing an important question now. These ongoing inquiries into online safety, of course, are about an important subject. No one would question the integrity of the notion that children should be protected from online bullying, from pornography, from potential forms of exploitation, from being able to access information on how you might harm yourself in a variety of ways, even with the most ultimate and irreversible of acts. Now, speaking to someone who is, as an adolescent, experienced, well, yes, some bullying, but also I had a lot of mental health issues and addiction issues and did engage in self-harm. I recognize that these are important issues, and yet more significantly, of course, I'm a parent right now. I have three children whose safety is obviously the most important thing in my life. So no one's questioning the importance of child safety. What we are questioning is what these hearings are really about, because the very same social media companies that are now being harangued and barracked by senators, and it's extraordinary to watch because it's so theatrical, you can tell it's propaganda even as you're watching it. There are literally staged moments that couldn't have happened without pre-discussion and without conversation and organization. It's brilliant. You're really going to enjoy this. What we're actually questioning is, what are these hearings really about? It's a bit like the pandemic. We all agree that human life is sacred, that we should all protect one another, love one another, that we're all invested in one another, and your safety and my safety and our collective safety are important. And when we forget that, we go crazy. That's something we need to be reminded of. Like the pandemic period was exploited to introduce measures that were potentially advantageous either in terms of profit or the ability to regulate and legislate, perhaps this conversation around child safety is similarly open to exploitation, in so much as it would grant governments the ability to censor and regulate social media companies that would inevitably go beyond getting rid of things that might be harmful for children. Let's have a look. For a start, there's this tweet by Glenn Greenwald. Tom Cotton, one of the senators conducting the inquiry, is a complete imbecile, as this clip vividly demonstrates. And both parties' fear-mongering over TikTok is grounded in dumb innuendo. There's far more evidence they're censoring for the US government than China. This is all about more government control over social media. Now, Glenn Greenwald is obviously an expert in this subject and has worked long, hard, and successfully on the degree to which governments control, censor, surveil their populations, working in ingenious ways to ensure that nothing we ever say cannot be tracked if necessary. So let's have a look at this inquiry and note how the CEO of TikTok is vilified and barracked by this extraordinary senator, and think about how theatrical it is, and note how language that's literally redolent of McCarthyism is used. Are you a member of the Communist Party? Are you a member of the Communist Party? How do I know Singapore's even a real place?
If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it.
I think they then had a lawsuit and it was overturned. I can't remember the
details.
No, it's another company.
The Biden administration that reversed those sanctions, just like, by the way, they reversed the terrorist designation on the Houthis in Yemen. How's that working out for them?
I think the man that sits behind Mr. Cotton is Tom Cotton's inner life. Like, that's actually what happens in Tom Cotton's mind. Just some sort of going, just sort of staring. His expression doesn't change during this entire inquiry. He's either bored by it or understands it on a level so deep that it doesn't register.
But it was sanctioned as a Chinese communist military company.
He's got a bit of a nerve saying that, because social media companies in the United States have explicit ties to both the military and have often engaged with deep state organizations like the CIA and FBI. We know that because of the Twitter files. And it's pretty clear that ultimately what the government want is control over social media sites, to sort of claim that there's a connection between the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese military and TikTok, when TikTok is a company founded in China, is actually superfluous. Of course there is. It's from China. It's very difficult to create a company in America that's both successful and doesn't have ties to the state. And what we're watching now is the dramatization of the government looking to get control over social media companies that have become too big and powerful. Sometimes that might be beneficial to ordinary people. Sometimes that might be deleterious to ordinary people. What the government want is to be able to use that power for their own ends. What would make people join them in that crusade? Well, if it was, I don't know, threatening to my children, we'll use that then.
You said today, as you often say, that you live in Singapore. Of what nation are you a citizen?
Singapore.
You keep saying Singapore. Now, why do you love it so much? Do you want to marry it?
Are you a citizen of any other nation?
No, Senator.
Have you ever applied for Chinese citizenship?
You can see that Xu Chu is considerably more intelligent than Mr. Cotton. They're sort of talking to him how you might talk to somebody on the other side of a bus window bound for a lunatic asylum. Okay. Okay. If you truly believe that you're Napoleon, I'm sure you are.
Senator, I served my nation in Singapore. I did not.
Do you have a Singaporean passport?
Yes, and I served my military for two and a half years.
Yes, yeah, that's what we do in Singapore. Uh-huh. And I suppose you go to sleep in a Singaporean house at night, do you? Goddamn commie.
Do you have any other passports from any other nation?
No, Senator.
Your wife is an American citizen. Your children are American citizens.
That's correct.
Have you ever applied for American citizenship?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Okay.
It isn't going how I planned it. Now, time to bring out the big guns.
Have you ever been a member of the Chinese Communist Party?
That's a really weird thing to say, isn't it?
If a person supports organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist.
Also, would the Chinese Communist Party even let you in if you were from Singapore? They'd probably be quite restrictive of that.
Senator, I'm Singaporean. No.
Have you ever been associated or affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party?
No, Senator. Again, okay. I'm Singaporean.
Do you sometimes dress up like you are a member, like Justin Trudeau, how he pretends to be from another country sometimes, dressing himself up? You love communists, don't you?
Let me ask you some hopefully simple questions. You said earlier, in response to your question, that what happened at Tiananmen Square in June of 1989 was a massive protest. Did anything else happen in Tiananmen Square?
This is a weird bit. Because, like, all of us know about Tiananmen Square, the fella with the carrier bags, the tank, all of that. He seems to be trying to blame old Xu Chu for Tiananmen Square. He's already said he's from Singapore. Probably weren't even born when that happened. Look how young he is. It's kind of weird, and as Glenn Greenwald said in his tweet, full of innuendo. We all know that that was a terrible massacre. I don't think anyone's saying, do you know who I like? China. And in particular, I like their massacres. I'm not suggesting that TikTok don't surveil, don't spy, isn't a manipulative space. I'm sure it's all of those things. What I'm saying is this inquiry is not about that. It's certainly not about protecting your children. They don't care about protecting your children. They still haven't done a proper inquiry into what the hell went on Epstein Island. If you care about children, let's look into that. Let's look at children's health. Let's look at diets and pharmaceutical measures that were taken in the last few years that may or may not have been beneficial to children. If children's safety is the issue, don't just focus on an aspect of children's safety that can be utilized to advance a particular agenda. It should be, we care about children's safety in all areas of life. That's why Kraft Foods and McDonald's are in a hell of a lot of trouble. We're shutting that shit. They're not going to do that, are they? Why? Because it's profitable and it can't be utilized in order to advance a censorship and surveillance agenda.
Yes, I think it's well documented. There was a massacre.
We can't continue to make this content without your love, devotion, and faith, and we appreciate them all. We also need, of course, our loving sponsors and partners like Field of Greens. Now, resolving to eat healthier this year was easy. Actually doing it, that ain't so easy. Better nutrition is a key to health and longevity. We want to stick around here for the revolution, don't we? And a healthy diet could even help you avoid health risks that run in your family. How is your family? Field of Greens is my healthy super fruit and vegetable habit. It's one of the best habits I've ever had. It's the only fruit and vegetable product that literally promises better health. At your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health if you can get an appointment, or you will get your money back. Do your vitamins or green drinks promise better health? They're unable to. Each super fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected by an actual doctor for a specific health benefit, not at random. Some support the heart, some support the lungs, some support the kidneys. Others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. Look, if you resolve to get healthier in 24, it all starts with Field of Greens. I've managed, through my own techniques, to get you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. They're not going to muck about waiting for hoofies to attack the ship. They're getting that stuff to you. Visit brickhouserussell.com and use the promo code BRAND. It's posted here. That's promo code BRAND, B-R-A-N-D, my name, at brickhouserussell.com. Two S's, two L's. Let's get back into our content because this world needs us. It ain't going to save itself.
There was an indiscriminate slaughter of hundreds or thousands of Chinese citizens.
No, it was more than a massacre. Don't just say it was a massacre. You enjoyed it. Were you there that day? Were you either him or the guy in the tank, even more likely? He don't think he understands what Singapore is, what China is, what history is. He's so confused. I actually think the bald geezer at the back is controlling him. I can't become a senator, not with this crazy face, but this pretty boy, you can do it, Cotton.
Do you agree with the Trump administration and the Biden administration that the Chinese government is committing genocide against the Uyghur people?
No, also this bit, like, he's pretending to care about the Uyghur people. Like, you can tell that geezer's like, what's happening to the Uyghur people? Can we do something about the Uyghurs? I think it's outrageous that they can't practice their religious beliefs in China. Let's do something about the Uyghurs. Now, what's happening to the Uyghur people in China is outrageous. It's disgusting. It might even be a genocide. But what it isn't is of any concern to Mr. Cotton. And he don't care about it in the context of this inquiry. He's just pulling out all of the bad things that have ever happened. Have you seen the movie Ice Age? That squirrel? He had months to live before he froze to death. Goddamn dinosaurs, they all dropped dead because of asteroids. I'm from Singapore, mate. I don't know anything about this.
Senator, I've said this before. I think it's really important that anyone who cares about this topic or any topic can freely express themselves on TikTok.
Key point there. Anyone who cares about these topics can freely express themselves on TikTok. Now, he's taken us to the heart of the matter, because what this inquiry is about is we should be able to censor the information that's on TikTok. He's saying, get on TikTok and talk about Uyghurs and sort that out. Now, in China, I imagine that information is heavily censored, because for the internal politics of China, that's an important subject. Over here, you know, the Uyghurs, people aren't doing a great deal about it, are they? Let's face it. But what they, I believe, want to control, and I believe what this congressional or Senate inquiry is interested in establishing, is the ability to censor information that could cause disobedience, uprising, counter-disinformation, organization, lack of trust in political institutions, lack of trust in the media, the breakdown of the pandemic narrative. This is what we're witnessing now, along with the ubiquitous now censorship laws that have been passed in Canada, UK, EU, US. People have realized, the powerful have realized, oh no, this online technology means that people can instantaneously communicate, news organizations can formulate around counter-narratives, communities can organize around different ideas. We have to shut that down. Of course, misinformation is a thing, but I'll tell you what is actual, definite, real-time misinformation is Tom Cotton pretending to care about Uyghurs and Tiananmen Square, when actually all any of them care about is control of new media spaces. I know that because I've seen how the government in my country give money to organizations like Logically AI and a bunch of other organizations to censor stories. Well, let me tell you what the topics are. Pandemic and Big Pharma, Moderna have been involved in that. War and the origins of the Ukraine-Russia conflict, true information gets censored around that. January 6th, an uprising, an insurrection, truckers movement. Oh, it's interesting. They're all counter-narratives where there's definitely been an attempt to control information and prevent true but unhelpful information getting out. And that's what this inquiry is about.
It's a very simple question that unites both parties in our country and governments around the world. Is the Chinese government committing genocide against the Uyghur people?
I may have a lot of beefs with Joe Biden and Donald Trump, but when the three of us get together and the subject of the Uyghur people comes up, as it inevitably does, because we all care so much about the Uyghur people, that's why you'll never find exploitative practices within companies like Apple or Facebook or Meta or any of our energy companies or Halliburton or any of those guys, because if it could happen to a Uyghur, it could happen to any of us. Oh, God. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. They're not all united. Like, that's not what brings people together like a can of Coca-Cola, Uyghurs, is it? You never hear Uyghurs talked about, except in that brief moment where mentioning a Uyghur would legitimize censorship. Can we say anything? I don't know, Uyghurs? What are Uyghurs again? Oh, it's just Muslim people in China that have been put in concentration camps. Oh, how's that relevant to me? You could say you cared about them in order to censor TikTok. I do care about Uyghurs. He's going to regret pretending to care about them Uyghurs, because I think the Uyghurs actually have been employed almost at near slave labor levels to do work for Apple. And indeed, Apple have enormous contracts in China, and the American government have to have a good relationship with Apple. And when bloody the leader of China comes to America, Tim Cook, he's right in there from Apple, he's right over the meeting them. So if you actually cared about the Uyghurs, you would just be bothering this poor geezer from Singapore, although I recognize he's the CEO of TikTok, he's not nobody. But what I'm saying is Tom Cotton and all of this entire inquiry, if what they really cared about was Uyghurs, they've got a real direct route to the Chinese president, the head of Apple. They've got so many ways of doing it. It's not like this bloke's got his pent-up rage about Uyghurs. He's never had a chance to mention it ever before up till now. Finally, you're from China. No, I've told you, Singapore. Yeah, that's near enough. Do something about those goddamn Uyghurs. I thought we were here to talk about TikTok censorship. I'll get to that when we finish talking about those Uyghurs.
Senator, anyone, including, you know, you can come into TikTok and talk about this topic.
I'm asking you,
or any topic.
You are a worldly, cosmopolitan, well-educated man.
What's that supposed to mean? Look at you. Are you gay? I've told you, I've got a wife and children. And anyway, what's that got to do? I say, are you gay?
Express many opinions on many topics. Is the Chinese government committing genocide against the Uyghur people?
Actually, Senator, I talk mainly about my company.
Sort of got busy at TikTok. I mean, I think so. I'm not sure. It's complicated. You've put me in a corner. But actually, if you really care about the Uyghurs, do something about the Uyghurs with like the president of China and the president of Apple.
And I'm here to talk about what
TikTok
does.
Yes or no? You're here, you're here to give testimony that's truthful and honest and complete.
It's theater, isn't it? It's like Tom Cotton has seen other inquiries and he's doing an impersonation of what he's seen at other inquiries, significantly the McCarthy trials, where saying things like, are you a member of the Communist Party, was one of the repeated refrains. And McCarthyism is something you should be aware of, because McCarthyism was using the threat of communism to impose control over the entertainment industry, which I understand exists to this day, to generate fear so that people won't speak up and generate solidarity with one another, to look for ways to persecute and crush dissent, to generate control when there was a perceived external threat. The threat now is a a domestic threat. We all know that. The threat now is you can't keep a population under the level of control you once could by saying, China are terrifying, Russia are terrifying. You can't do that anymore. People now have the ability to get a different type of perspective on reality by using different news sources, aggregating them. We all live in a different world now, and that world is hard to control. And what's being created now is the mechanic to control it.
Let me ask you this. Joe Biden last year said that Xi Jinping was a dictator. Do you agree with Joe Biden that Xi Jinping a dictator?
Senator, I'm not going to comment on any world leaders.
What?
Now, Mark Zuckerberg is a divisive figure in these spaces. In fact, like, you know, he's a billionaire CEO of Meta. So we all assume that his affiliations will be with the state. Certainly, we know that he sent some true information on behalf of the state during the pandemic.
Kind of establishment on that, you know, asked for a bunch of things to be censored that in retrospect ended up being more debatable or true.
Indeed, Jimmy Dore tweeted on March 15th, 2020, Mark Zuckerberg privately contacted Anthony Fauci saying, I also wanted to share a few ideas of ways we could help you get your message out. Zuckerberg then censored scientists, professors, doctors, nurses, and citizens from criticizing Fauci's recommendations regarding lockdown, school closures, and COVID mandates, and silenced all criticisms of experimental mRNA vaccines. Facebook classified mRNA vaccine injuries as malinformation, meaning information that is likely true but still should be censored to prevent doubts about the experimental mRNA vaccines. Numerous Facebook mRNA vaccine injury support groups with hundreds of thousands of members were banned. So Facebook, when they were compliant with the government agenda, were favored. Now it seems the government have a slightly different agenda, plainly, to introduce more regulatory measures and to control Facebook, nominally and explicitly, in order to protect children. But pause for a moment. Do they really care about your children? I'm not saying that they don't care about your children. I sort of am, I suppose. But I'm saying that there are lots of areas of public and political and financial life where the care of your children is relegated. How are your children's nutritional standards being taken care of? What about American infrastructure, healthcare, information? How are children generally being protected? Were there any medical measures in the last few years that potentially were not as beneficial as was claimed? Whether that's taking children out of school, making children wear masks, potentially recommending certain medications that might not be beneficial for children. So once again, let's have a look at how Mark Zuckerberg is handled in this Senate inquiry. And in particular, notice that what takes place is plainly a staged event. Their control of social media is about controlling your perception of reality, not protecting your children.
A stunning moment. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg faced a withering grilling over allegations his company is failing to protect children on social media.
There's families of victims here today.
And look at the politicians, again, this other one. Look at the style of it. Look at the tone of it. Imagine the sort of psychological and egoic state.
There's families of victims here today.
One consistent thing, and I'm beginning to think the mastermind is that bald geezer, because he's there again, and he's still not interested.
Have you apologized to the victims? Would you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures.
Zuckerberg stood and turned to address the hearing room filled with the families.
That is a sort of a prep moment. Let me reiterate once again that children's lives being negatively affected and ended as a result of information shared online is, of course, terrible and awful. What I'm questioning is this inquiry really about protecting children, or is the protection of children merely a spearhead that will allow a lot of other regulations to be passed, a kind of Patriot Act, shall we call it, for online spaces that will lead to regulation, censorship and surveillance? Certainly we know that typically our governments have that appetite. Certainly know our governments have been doing that for years. Certainly we know that our governments are terrified of independent media and independent political movements emerging out of it and the opposition that's generated in these spaces. And what I query is the degree to which they care about child safety, which, like any parent, I believe should be paramount for all of us.
Many held signs with photos of loved ones who they say have suffered because of social media.
Look, Mark Zuckerberg now, who's like a sort of a, obviously a billionaire and everything, but he's just a nerdy guy. Clearly a person with some pretty strong ties to the government when it's convenient. Certainly a person who, during the pandemic period, was willing to have a particular type of relationship with the government. And I'm sure even that, I pray, was motivated by a desire to do good. I'm not going to assume that everybody's evil unless there's corroborating evidence. I really think that's an important way to go. But what I'm saying is this situation where these poor, either grieving or hurt parents are holding up these pictures because they've been told to by someone, like, what we're going to do is going to have a moment where you hold up a picture, then the press, oh, this is a bit, is it, where we're going to do the photograph, is a staged moment so that all of us start to associate online censorship
children's safety. Online censorship, children's safety. But the genie's out of the bottle because they're already trying to pass hate speech laws in Ireland where they're not clear about what they mean by hate. Oh, just hate, badness, stuff we don't like. Is that what you mean? The UK online safety bill, which was brought about at the time that I was being attacked, and we now know that various agencies were involved in that attack. We've made videos about that elsewhere. You can have a look for yourself. So what you do know is you cannot trust the government. What you do know is that the government wants to control online spaces. And what you do know is if the government genuinely care about children, child safety and child health, there's a lot of ways they could do it with food, traffic safety, nutrition, poverty. There are so many ways to look at improving child safety, but this way of protecting child safety gives them more power. Isn't it curious that's the one they've chosen to focus on?
Wow. That moment is something that I believe that we are going to be looking back on and talking about for quite some time.
And then using to legitimize some draconian online censorship measures, which I suppose will be beneficial to the legacy media because our main competitor is independent media. In fact, any time that we get a chance to destroy an independent media figure, we should really get on board with that, whether it's Joe Rogan and the horse paste or any independent media figures with dissenting views. We should find, in fact, anything we can to destroy them because we're going to be annihilated otherwise. This is a convenient piece of legislation that allows the control of social media under that most law of reasons, the protection of children. Who among us doesn't want to protect children? Many of Epstein's clients, yeah, don't worry about that, forget that story, that's not convenient right now. So you just have to ask yourself, is this about protecting children or is this about them being able to maintain control over a space that is volatile and doubtless has content in it that's harmful to all human beings? But they don't care about that. They care about control.
This is the one issue we are putting party aside and saying no.
No, no, Uyghurs. Uyghurs, that's the one issue. We all agree on Uyghurs. Oh, yes, no, Uyghurs, that's important as well.
This will not happen to America's children.
Or Uyghurs.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri continued to blast the billionaire.
Shouldn't you be held accountable personally?
I'm actually quite into this now.
You're a billionaire. Will you set up a victim's compensation fund with your money, the money you made on these families sitting behind you? Yes or no?
Interestingly, Michael Tracy tweeted this. Senators are going wild right now, screaming about how social media is anti-Semitic and pro-China and sharing all their latest theories about sex grooming techniques online while Biden gets ready to commence a new strategic bombing campaign that they have not authorized. Hashtag priorities. Again, it's very difficult to take them seriously in all their valor and all their bombast when we know that wars are escalating across the planet that no one's voted for and we're expected to fund. And now for a statement that's beyond irony.
Mr. Zuckerberg, you and the companies before us have blood on your hands.
Now, wash that blood off your hands, pick up some missiles, and drop them on Iran. What do the Senate and senators and the entire political system care about? Your children, who they're hoping will go to war for them, incidentally, in Iran, or do they care about control over the public sphere and the information channels that exist between us right now? I can tell you from personal experience, they care very, very deeply about being able to control the space between this and your consciousness and what you say and what I hear. They are terrified of this type of communication. They're terrified of communities that are starting to coalesce and become disobedient and disenchanted with a narrative. That's why they go for something emotional that goes past the rational mind and right into fear and terror. We've got to protect your children. There are a lot of things that we need to protect our children from, and I would include on that long list the government. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments in the chat? Remember, we stream every day on a channel that's not included in that hearing, as a matter of fact, and I applaud them for that. Also, you can become a supporter of our content. We do an extra video for you every week, and it's always a banger. Plus, we do conversations with great journalists, and you can pose questions to them. Join us if you can. Stay free.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you want to see more uncensored content where free speech can flourish, join our live stream. Click the link right here to watch the next video if you want to, or become a member of a growing movement. Download the Rumble app and you'll be informed every time we make a new piece of content. Stay free.
They have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Oh.
What's up, guys? Boy, Benny. Here's a shocker for you. It turns out that when you are native to a community, like you were born there and raised there, and maybe your family lives there, you don't like it when foreign-born people break the law, move into your neighborhood, strip that place of its public resources, strip your children of places to go to school and practice sports, and then act ungrateful for it all by behaving like criminals. Turns out that your political power gets diluted and you feel like you're being replaced. Oh, wow, this sounds like a scary thing. You're not supposed to say that. Oh, okay, well then let's let people from Barack Obama's neighborhood say it, shall we? Here are what the all-black residents of the virtually all-black south side of Chicago have to say about their neighborhoods becoming criminal, illegal, alien dumping grounds. Why?
We have a hard no for immigrants coming in. A very hard no.
We come in a community of black people where we already get the low scraps. And then you want to take the little scraps, the resources that we have, and put us at the bottom of the barrel? That's not fair. And I won't have it.
Oh, baby. Okay. So this is what the South Side of Chicago is saying. These are young men who were paraded into the neighborhood. I don't see a single white person there. It's a white supremacist conspiracy theory that you're being replaced. Okay, well, what about this entire gymnasium full of black people who have every right to demand that their community also be treated with respect? Here are these young footballers who are brought in to that community because they've lost their practice field. These young men have lost their ability to practice football in Chicago because their football fields, gymnasium, and schools have all been turned into migrant shelters. Look at the people cheering and screaming at the school board that has done all of this. So, ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, is a massive countrywide issue that is enraging for so many. It really doesn't matter your skin color. It really doesn't matter where you're from. If you are a native-born American, if you were born here, and if you live here, if this is where your family is, and people who, listen, some of them are criminals, but what I mean by criminal alien is they broke American law by entering this country illegally. They automatically broke American law. Based on the letter of the 1964 Immigration Act, by staying here illegally, they're also breaking the law. Every second they're here, they're committing a felony, a federal one at that. So that means you're a criminal migrant, but you're also a criminal migrant if you beat up a New York City cop, which is what happened in Manhattan when a bunch of illegals, and this was bound to happen, decided to pummel nearly to death a New York City police officer. What happened? They are free to do it again. They were let out with bail, and then they flipped off the cameras. Yeah. Play this on repeat during the election year.
Fox News now, NYPD making two more arrests. Illegal immigrants and that attack on officers. Those suspects also allegedly stole an officer's cell phone. Well, that'll help them track you down. So a fifth illegal immigrant accused of attacking two New York City police officers over the weekend showed no remorse or regret. He was seen, as you can see, giving his two middle fingers to the cameras moments after being released without bail.
So this should be the biggest news story in the country and in the world. People are furious about it, including the head of the police union in New York.
They're in jail right now. They brutally attacked a New York City police officer and a lieutenant. Our criminal justice system is upside down. It fails every day.
Well, maybe, pal, it's because, and this, of course, shouldn't be happening to any cop. You hit a cop, you should go to prison. You should get a maximum sentence. That shouldn't happen. But it's, of course, happening because, well, one, New York City is a sanctuary city. So New York City is duty-bound and legally obligated to provide food and shelter and a job for these criminal aliens, and they know it. It's why they all choose to go there. And so now New York City is collapsing under the weight of that insane obligation and the weight of what they voted for. New York City is getting exactly what they voted for. And the people of New York are starting to snap over it, including this incredible red pill moment on CNN by one of CNN's legal correspondents. A man was on CNN talking to the morning show about these illegal criminal aliens and how they operate in gangs that steal in New York and then go down and do business in Florida and then come back and steal in New York, and they continue that cycle. And the question was asked, why do they do that? The answer from the legal correspondent makes the CNN host gasp. This incredible moment of blackpilling on CNN.
You don't touch our police officers. You don't touch anybody. Thank you, everybody.
I mean, we're hearing a change when it comes to immigration in general from President Biden on down. To hear her talk about that, it is also directly related to the fact that these were police officers. Does that have any impact? Does that change anything?
Well, it's so complicated because, you know, you're a New Yorker. You move through the city every day as I do. We see these people. We touch these people. They're out looking for work. They're delivering our food. They're at the gas stations and the car wash. I mean, these are people who came in waves, you know, 170,000 probably to New York City. But within that group, this hardworking, you know, throngs of people in search of hope and a better life, there is this one percenter, you know, criminal element that looks at a different opportunity here. These individuals, I went over their rap sheets yesterday, multiple charges, grand larceny, robbery, attempted robbery, grand larceny. This particular crew operated on mopeds and scooters. They were doing organized retail theft. They were doing snatches on the street, iPhones, iPads, clothing, so on and so forth. One of them that they are still seeking has 10 charges on one day because he's part of a pattern that's been going on. And I'm looking at the dates that their arrest started, which is probably close to when they got here. They've only been here a couple of months. So what the detectives are telling me is they have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money, and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Oh.
Great reporting.
Did you see the reaction? Why don't they stay in Florida? Because in Florida, you go to prison for behaving like a criminal, for doing crimes.
Go to Florida to spend the money and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Oh.
Great reporting.
Look at the responses to these dorks. They don't know what to say. The white libs on CNN don't know what to say to the harsh reality that having no laws, no rules, no border, no criminal convictions for these people. Get out of jail free card, no consequence, a world of no consequences for these people is backfiring on them. Again, this is what dark blue Chicago looks like as residents take over their city council, heckling Democrat mayor for trying to set up a colony of illegal criminal migrants inside of the city. You'll see a guy with a Black Lives Matter shirt on. You'll see people of all stripes screaming, saying, you're not going to be bringing in populations of people that don't share our traditions, that don't share our language, that are changing forever and stripping the resources of this city to the bare bones. Listen, man, how bad is it? AOC can't even do an interview in New York anymore. Man, when socialist AOC is incapable of getting to a camera and saying something, which is like her only talent, then you know you got a problem. Jamal Bowman's in the back there. Looks like he's about ready to pull the fire alarm. Listen to this. Talking outside of, ladies and gentlemen. They're talking outside of the Roosevelt Hotel in New York. Record numbers of buses are being dropped off by Texas. New York City officials went to court to try and temporarily end or modify the right to shelter law. Migrants state that the Salvation Army has had a hand in shipping the migrants to D.C. Migrant court dates are in 2025. Migrants are also being flown into New York in record numbers. City officials state hotels are taking advantage of New York City and overcharging. No end in sight. No end in sight to the migrant crisis. The dumping ground for the third world, ladies and gentlemen. And people are beginning to finally absolutely snap. They're snapping on AOC. They're screaming at AOC, at AOC's events. AOC has got to know. AOC is responsible to this.
All right, listen. All right, listen, okay, listen.
All right, so AOC does like a racist pantomime of a Puerto Rican housewife, I guess? I don't know. Democrats have even put up graphics like this. Dems made this graphic of an electrified fence, our military standing guard, alligators in a moat, Donald Trump MAGA border solutions. I'll take it. We're just going to put a little zappy fence right there. Donald Trump border solutions. Only one thing can make it better. My clock dates. Oh, yeah, baby. Give it to me. Oh, the backlash. Oh, the backlash. Sear this. Sear this into your mind forever.
Do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money, and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Oh.
Great reporting. Keep us posted on this.
Nothing hits harder than reality. Oh. You'll never see me do that on my show because I don't lie to you professionally. We live in reality. It's good that those CNN anchors got a little dose of it. And I think that this is just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. The people are pissed in these neighborhoods. They're angry. And I stand linked arm in arm with the people of the Bronx and the South Side of Chicago. This has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with where people actually come from. This has everything to do with the organized invasion of our country, with people who were born here, who are here legally, versus people who broke our laws and continue to break our laws as they stay here, beat up our cops, strip us of resources, and many of them behaving like criminals. And then they get released onto the street to do it again. What an insult to you, to me, to the people that pay the taxes to support this society and is untenable. Something, ladies and gentlemen, has got to give. Or give up. Or put up. Put up a border wall. Put up a border wall.
Some D.C. residents we spoke with actually expressed sympathy towards the people wiping out the aisles.
I'm stuck. I mean, it's bad to do. At the same time, they're probably doing it for a reason. They need those things. But they shouldn't just be going in and clearing the shelves because this isn't sustainable for the store.
A lot of folks actually can't afford any of the things in there. I'm not saying that stealing has to be the solution to that, right? However, I don't know, maybe the city can provide more accessible resources to unhoused or under-income folks that can provide them like hair care, bodily care, hygiene care, et cetera. That could be an option.
How's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today we got to talk about D.C. liberals defending criminals who stole so much from a local CVS store that it closed down. Now, the video you saw at the very beginning of this video was kind of old, from about 3 months ago. If you guys are wondering, yes, that's been around for a while, but there's an update. You see, in that video, it was just a bunch of empty shelves, and it was kind of an oddity. Like, how is this store still open with pretty much nothing in there? People are stealing, and nobody does anything about it. It's not really a big deal. Now, the update is that the store has closed down, finally. I mean, how much stealing can the store take? I'm talking about, there was so much stealing going on, there was nothing in there aside from a couple of key items. Now, before I go any further into it, let's get to the older video first, then the update, and of course, both will be in the box. If you're on IG, visit the link in the bio, go to the corresponding article on the website. But without further ado, let's go ahead and roll it.
CVS store in D.C.'s Columbia Heights neighborhood being repeatedly targeted by thieves. Take a look at this video here. Now the shelves are bare and empty. Fox 5, Sierra Fox in Northwest.
What's the point of even opening the store like that? There's nothing in there. Why? What is the purpose? I don't understand. This is just really strange. If you're going in there working, you got to understand that you're about to get fired because they're going to close down. How can the store be open with nothing in the store?
After checking it out and hearing from customers that are concerned about the 14th Street location.
Take a look here. When you walk into this CVS, you think the store is closing because there's barely anything on the shelves. In fact, the only items in stock are the ones that are locked up. I did ask an employee what gets stolen the most, and they just laughed and said everything.
Everything. Everything gets stolen except for the items that are locked up. This is why some stores, and pardon me for the bad freeze frame, Miss Lady, but this is why some stores have the entire store locked up. You got to get the manager to open up the store. If you want to get some deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush, whatever you want, you got to get the manager to come help you. And at a certain point, why even go to a store for that? Just go to Amazon or something like that, order it, and have it delivered straight to your house. And hopefully you don't have Porch Pirates, which is a different story. And I digress. And if I didn't say it, this is our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
Everything. I spoke with multiple customers who say it's frustrating.
It makes me not want to shop there, to be honest. I go and get my prescription, and then when I need other things, I go elsewhere because there's nothing there to get.
According to people who work at the CVS in Columbia Heights, a big group of kids, like 45 or more, walk in before school, after school, and late at night to steal chips and drinks. They even throw the food and beverages on the ground and stomp on them, leaving behind a big mess. Fox 5 did witness teens doing that while inside the business and even after they walked outside. Staff at CVS have been alerted that thieves are aware of when new shipments come in, and that's when they target the store.
Let's pause for a minute. So they do have a pharmacy, or they had a pharmacy because they're closed now. So that's in there. But aside from that, there's nothing ever in there because whenever they do stock the shelves, teens come in there and just take it. Now, I was a teen at one point myself. I never did anything like that. That's ridiculous, man. That's totally crazy because, you know, at a certain point, there's got to be some kind of punishment for these teens. But if there's no punishment, they don't really care. The parents don't care. It's whatever. And you know what? Y'all know I'm from Virginia. I've been to D.C. a lot. The last time I was in D.C. was before J6. This was on November 20. And one thing I saw, which is what you really don't see in other places, other cities, homeless young people. I'm talking about teenager-looking people, 18, 19, 20 years old, sleeping outside on the ground. It was totally crazy. Normally what you see is like more 20-somethings, you know, dope fiends. I'm talking about 16-year-olds wearing backpacks outside on the ground sleeping in D.C. Real talk, but I digress. I'm not saying they're homeless, but I'm just saying D.C.'s different.
We're told that street vendors are allegedly paying people to go in and steal stuff so they can resell it. When we walked down 14th Street in Northwest D.C., we did notice street vendors selling toothbrushes, men and women body wash, car fresheners, as well as laundry and cleaning supplies, which are some of the same items no longer available at CVS. However, there is no direct evidence at this time that it did come from the store.
Come on, you know exactly where it came from. You think it just happened to these street vendors? It happened to be outside on the ground with a carpet or something at best, a Latin's carpet with Tide Pods and Crest and Old Spice. It just happened to come across that from Amazon or some kind of shipment, or did it come straight from CVS? And they're probably one block away at best, maybe even right across the street, maybe even right up front of the side of the store. Rather than going inside the store, you could just stop right there, get whatever you want, and go about your business.
D.C. residents we spoke with actually expressed sympathy towards the people wiping out the aisle.
Here we go.
I'm stuck. I mean, it's bad to do. At the same time, they're probably doing it for a reason. They need those things, but they shouldn't just be going in and clearing the shelves because this isn't sustainable for the store.
A lot of folks actually can't afford any of the things in there. I'm not saying that stealing has to be the solution to that, right? However, I don't know, maybe the city can provide more accessible resources to unhoused or under-income folks that can provide them, like, hair care, bodily care.
Hair care? If you on the street and you have nowhere to live, why is hair care even a thing, my man? Who cares? Like, be nappy, be crazy, be Dr. Bounty Hunter at best. It doesn't matter.
Hygiene care, etc., that could be an option.
Now, that CVS on 14th Street in particular does have one security guard inside during business hours, but customers and employees we spoke with say they don't think that's enough and that they want to see these shoplifters held accountable for their actions and prosecuted.
So that's what's going on. Now, one thing about D.C. also, aside from the teens, when I was there back in 20, there was also a very strong Antifa presence. There was this one big, giant white guy looking like something from Lord of the Rings, an NPC from Elden Ring, with a big staff banging on the ground. And I talked to my man, Bobby Maxwell, shout out to him. He was like, yeah, that's probably him giving the signal to other Antifa out there that we were out there, because we were out there for a march with Blexit. Shout out Cannon, shout out Charlie. But here's the next piece I want to show you guys. This is an update. Again, that was an older video. Here's the update.
On WUSA 9 News at 11, we begin with an unfortunate update for people who rely on the CVS in Columbia Heights. Thank you for being here with us tonight. I'm Lorenzo Hall.
I'm Leslie Foster, and CVS tells WUSA 9 it is getting ready to close the location on 14th Street in Northwest D.C. That is the one right outside the Columbia Heights Metro Station.
Now, this might all look familiar because we've shown you the bare shelves there several times in the past 6 months. Employees say they can't keep much in stock. They say thieves are even targeting the store's trucks on delivery day.
So what's next for the employees and the people who pick up their prescriptions at this CVS pharmacy? Our Casey Nolan is outside the store in Northwest with answers.
So it's not a surprise at all, and it's sad for the neighborhood.
It's the news many say they could see coming.
I think I picked up like one item there one time successfully.
Given how these shelves have looked for months.
The only thing left is are the greeting cards and the sunblock.
Since at least
greeting cards and sunblock was hilarious. That's all that's left in there? That's funny.
At least last October, store employees at this CVS at 14th and Irving in Northwest say shoplifters have either stolen their stock or hit the delivery trucks before they could resupply the store.
I live right down the street, and every time we see the trucks to restock, we think, oh, they're about to get robbed.
Anything you want at CVS, you can find on the sidewalk, on a table, it's for sale.
Tuesday, CVS confirmed it is closing this store on February 29th, and the pharmacy inside it.
This is really going to harm the community of Columbia Heights. A lot of senior citizens depend on this store.
It's the place I come to get my medicine, this woman told us. They can't do this, she said. By email, a CVS spokesperson said many factors are considered when deciding to close one of our stores, such as local market dynamics, population shifts, store density,
theft,
and other access points to meet the community.
This PR. I mean, look, them teens, they kept like 16-year-old, 14-year-old black kids from Northwest, the Northwest part, keep coming in here on delivery day, stealing chips and drinks and all that kind of good stuff. That's what's happening.
Health and wellness needs, and said employees would be offered comparable roles within the company.
Just look around you. It's in disarray.
But longtime neighbors say this is a sign of a greater problem with crime in Columbia Heights.
And I'm looking right at the council and ward rep. Nadeau specifically.
D.C. Councilmember Breon Nadeau told WUSA 9 in a statement she has spoken with CVS leadership and says this store is one of about 900 they are closing to, quote, reduce pharmacy density, and points out that there is another.
Man, come on. Like, be serious. Be serious. They all know why it's closing. D.C., come on. Like, that store, they're gonna miss that store.
Their CVS in the Target across the street. A company spokesperson tells us this pharmacy will transfer all of its prescriptions to the CVS at 1755 Columbia Road Northwest. About a 15-minute walk each way from this location.
So there we go. That's what's happening. you got a problem with crime in the city? You just letting it go on? Not having any punishment for these young black kids? Why? Is it because it's racist? What is the deal? When you allow crime and when the people excuse the crime, whether it be black, white, Puerto Rican, candy stripe, when they excuse the crime, then it's going to continue. And the result is going to be job loss. It's going to be resource loss. You can't build resources and build things in the community if you got this kind of lawless behavior that goes unchecked. It's very simple. But I think I'll leave that right there for now. And what say you? What's your take on the CVS closing in Northwest Washington, D.C.? Is it because of population density and like all that, you know, gobbledygook they got from CVS in the statement, or is it because of the stealing? Like, just plain and simple, when the truck gets there, it's robbed immediately. Is that why it's closing? I think so. But whatever your thoughts are, let me know in the comments below. And that's all I got to say for this video. If you like what you heard, please comment, rate, share, and subscribe. Peace.
We've got, by the way, a senator who they've installed like a new chip in his brain right now, John Fetterman. So the Fetterbot is currently acting like he's a Republican.
Has woke leftist John Fetterman left the dark side and actually become based? Welcome back to the JP Rex channel, my beautiful freedom-loving friend, where we like to call out the lies, hypocrisy, and corruption of tyrants, shine the light of awareness on woke absurdities, and highlight the amazing work of other freedom fighters. You know who John Fetterman is, you know, really a challenged fella, seemingly a puppet towing the line, you know, the most leftist of all lines in the leftist agenda. But now, recently, the past month or so, John Fetterman, a couple things have changed. Now, my question is it authentic or is it deceptive? Is it meant to manipulate you or is it an earnest attempt to influence you through what he sees as a better way? Couple things that have changed. This guy is shockingly speaking a fair bit more coherently. Now, we're used to the John Fetterman who makes Biden look like a well-polished speaker, but lately, he's been just, like, talking like a human. It's weird. And secondly, on the topic of, is he actually based now? He is no longer towing the line on, an open border is loving. We need to keep it open. It's hateful to have a secure border. No, he's now saying secure the border. And he's also not towing the leftist line on pro-Palestine, anti-Israel. He's being very pro-Israel and, like, literally waving Israeli flags in the faces of Palestinian protesters. What's going on? Let's take a look. And by the way, I will give you my opinion on what's going on, but more importantly, what's your opinion? As we go, let me know in the comments below. So we can see this tweet summarizing his quick take on the border. Why is this breaking? I have no idea. Breaking! Democrat Senator John Fetterman is calling for increased border security and for Democrats to work with Republicans to finally secure the border. Do you agree with him? Let's hear more about what Mr. Fetterman's saying about the border, which is out of lockstep with the leftist policies that have been, well, destroying our country with an open border.
If you look at the numbers, it's almost 270,000 encounters, and that's a lot. It's not xenophobic to have a conversation about border security.
Whoa, it's not xenophobic to have a conversation about border security. Okay, that's definitely breaking bonds of the leftist narrative. Now, that's something that you and I would probably agree with. Now, is that, well, I agree with Fetterman on that. Is that a bait to get us into some kind of manipulative trap? If it was, I'm guessing someone like you or I aren't going to fall for that trap. But think about other people who may not be as convicted in their values or beliefs and may not have the X-ray vision that you and I have to see through how things appear to be, to see the underlying deception and manipulation that might be. And here's another short clip. Senator Fetterman splits with left on border security and Israel from The Hill.
Recent appearance with Jake Tapper that ran contrary to his party's base and received plaudits from those on the right. Let's take a look.
Because obviously a lot of progressives on Twitter have been attacking you for your position on Israel, for noting that, in your opinion, saying that there is a crisis at the border does not make one xenophobic. Why do you think you've been so criticized by so many progressives?
I honestly don't understand. I don't understand why it's controversial to anybody to decide.
By the way, I interrupt this regularly scheduled John Fetterman message to also point out he's talking like a normal person. That's interesting.
That you're going to stand with Israel in this situation. I honestly don't understand why it's controversial to say we need a secure border. I've been very clear. In fact, that was weaponized against me as Republicans in my race, that I'm very much strong supporter of immigration. And, you know, my wife's family, that's the Oregon story about that.
Okay, that wasn't coherent, but one get out of incoherency jail free card.
I think two things can be true at the same time. You can be very supportive of immigration, but we also need to have a secure border.
Damn it. Well, that is also something I agree with. I am supportive of immigration, as in legal immigration with due process. In other words, immigration policies that are enforced, I support that. Cool. And I also heavily support a secure border. Wow, I sure am agreeing with John Fetterman on a couple things here, aren't I? And now this clip from the New York Post. You'll see John Fetterman leaving some kind of building. Looks pretty official to me. And there's a pro-Palestine protest going on. You know, kind of, I don't know, the people who aren't fans of Jewish people for some reason need to let the world know where they stand. So you'll see John Fetterman come out. He's waving a little thing. It's a little out of focus for a second, but what he's waving is an Israeli flag in the face of these pro-Palestinian protesters.
Shame!
I definitely still dresses like a goofball, shorts and a sweatshirt. That's fun. But for whatever reason that I don't think is based on anything other than a nefarious agenda of deception that divides people and gets them out of control, functioning out of anger because ultimately they're functioning from a place of fear, this agenda of the left, okay, you got to be pro-Palestine and anti-Israel, even though like you do the math, it's like that kind of makes you Jew haters. So John Fetterman is breaking the lines of that and very openly not going with the party, not going with the squad. He's, and yeah, I like Israel better. And this next clip, something very similar. John Fetterman is on a roof for some reason. I don't know if the guy also thinks he's Batman, but there's a pro-Palestine protest, riot, whatever you call it at this point, going on the streets below, and you'll see Fetterman doing his Israeli flag tactic. This is a bigger Israeli flag.
Fetterman, you can't hide! You're supporting genocide! Fetterman, you can't hide! You're supporting genocide!
Okay, he just stands on the roof holding the Israeli flag, out of line with the left. Now, we'll take a look at the opening clip, but the full clip of Jack Posobiec. He's a dude, I've met him, I think he's great, I love his commentary. He's someone who understands nothing is as it seems. So you'll get his take on Fetterman, because it's like, boy, he's looking based. Is he actually based, or is there something deceptive going on? Is this a tactic being weaponized against us? Before I watched this clip of Jack, I was thinking basically what Jack says. So I happen to agree with him, and I'll give you my quick recap after this. But first, take a look at Jack Posobiec sharing with you what he thinks is going on with the all of a sudden changed John Fetterman.
We've got, by the way, a senator who they've installed like a new chip in his brain right now, John Fetterman.
It might be a lot of Adderall. I don't know, like, the stroke or strokes that Fetterman has had that had him, like, really, like, he just talks, like, really incoherently, doesn't know what's going on, can't read or can't, like, hear words and process them. I don't know. Like, has he actually just been naturally healing from a stroke? Did they put a new chip in his brain? Is it just like, dude, with enough Adderall, you can kind of function normally? Or, by the way, I don't actually believe this, but I don't think anything is impossible. So you could even say, like, hey, when Fetterman was running for Senate and got elected, and, you know, he was, by all rights, quite mentally disabled. Was that just an act to get sympathy votes or the illusion of votes? I don't know, but, you know, it's questions. Let's hear more from Jack.
So the Fetterbot is currently acting like he's a Republican, but it's all a trick, right? We all get that, right? It's classic election year pandering, because Fetterbot is going to...
Classic election year pandering. It's a trick. Interesting.
Say, you know, we need to defend Israel, and we need to do something about the border, and we need to do something about fentanyl. And he sounds pretty good lately, right? He sounds like kind of a normal, almost a MAGA, like he could give a speech up here at a Turning Point event almost. But I'll tell you what the end of the program is that Fetterbot, at the long end of this program, when the algorithm's done its process, they're going to come down and he's going to say, and that's why we need to endorse Joe Biden. And he's going to have all those people that say, well, this is a normal guy. I want him to endorse Joe Biden. And that's where it's going to come in. And that's the issue.
So here's why I believe what Jack Fisibiak is saying. First of all, I have never seen any evidence that Fetterman is anything other than a puppet pretty much installed. So what we know for sure, Biden's border policies, the radical leftist view of Israel, these things that Fetterman is breaking the line with, those policies are the opposite of popular. So, you know, he's just like, Biden's definitely going to be the candidate in 2024, right? Right. So whoever the candidate is, like, they face this adversity of like, dude, nobody likes our stance on the border. Like, we got to keep doing it because we got an agenda. But like, people see it. They don't like it. What they do like is the opposite. They like a based point of view, which, by the way, a based point of view is nothing more than a common sense point of view. So what if we have this guy Fetterman and other people also, by the way, what if we have this guy Fetterman come out and say the things that people actually like? Therefore, they start to like him. And the more they like him, the more they trust him. And the more they get, the more he gathers their trust, the more he can then pass their trust on to, and that's why we need to support Biden or Michael Obama or Gavin Newsom, like whoever it's actually going to be. That's what I think is actually going on. I think this is a tactic. Leftist communists trying to take over our country, they might be evil, and indeed they are, but they're also not stupid. They see when people don't like what they're doing. They see when people don't fall for what they're doing. They don't fall for their narrative. So is it beyond evil to use deceptive tactics? Let's get our puppets. We'll shove our hands way up there, and we'll get the puppets to say the things that people like so we can gather their trust, their support, and then pass that support on to those who don't deserve it. But it is a deceptive trap of baiting people into the trap. We'll say the things they like, even though it's like the opposite of what we're going to do, and then pass that trust on to those who don't deserve it. Is that what's going on with Fetterman? I can't be for certain. All I can say is that's how it appears to be to me. That's the best sense of what I can make of the situation. But let me know what your thoughts are on Fetterman. Is he actually based, or is he a deceptive puppet being used to manipulate the public to voting for someone who probably doesn't deserve your vote? You let me know in the comments. Look forward to hearing what you think about this. And with that said, my freedom-loving friend, thank you for watching this video. I truly do appreciate you. If you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to my channel, turn on your bell notifications. See you next time. But first, I've got a special non-
Okay, yeah. The guy was blackmailed.
He was blackmailed?
Pretty much.
Whoa.
So most members, they actually have spouses that are married. They have affairs with other council people, Congress people, Congress members, in office. And they have, like, parties and stuff.
I thought you were talking about sex parties.
Whoa! A new undercover video published by James O'Keefe reveals members of Congress are coerced to vote a certain way through blackmail, extortion, after affairs and sex parties. Madison Cawthorn wasn't lying either. These are your elected congressional leaders. Welcome back to the JP React Channel, my beautiful freedom-loving friend, where we like to call out the lies, hypocrisy, and corruption of tyrants and Satan, shine the light of awareness on woke absurdities, and we do, in fact, like to highlight the amazing work of other freedom fighters. James O'Keefe, in my opinion, is absolutely an amazing freedom fighter. I have met James. I've seen James give a lecture on how to do undercover investigative journalism, which in this video, you just saw a clip of, you'll see more of it. James O'Keefe is, in fact, doing undercover investigative journalism, which I'm surprised he himself can still do it because he's so well-known, and you'd think, like, these leftist lunatics would all have, like, James O'Keefe picture on hand, like, don't talk to this guy, let alone don't tell him secrets, let alone don't tell him dirty, dark, evil secrets. But he got a Capitol Hill intern to reveal some secrets to him directly, and we see his undercover footage. We'll show you that video, but the context of this that I discerned, the Capitol Hill intern that he's conversing with very much appears to be a gay man, and James O'Keefe in some of the footage, it seemingly trying to act a little gay. So my guess, and this is speculation, that James O'Keefe set up this undercover investigative expose by posing as a gay man to be out on a date with this intern who definitely said some things he probably shouldn't have said, according to his bosses. But if you're a fan of freedom and therefore truth, you're glad they've been said, and you're glad that James O'Keefe has gone to the trouble of exposing them. The full video is 20 minutes. We're just going to watch the first section so we have the backbone of it. But please check out James O'Keefe on Instagram for the full video. And if you don't already follow James O'Keefe, of course, I'd recommend it. Let's take a look.
Hey, you're not a Trump fan, are you?
No. John, I need to die. John.
Well, that's also a separate problem. This Capitol Hill intern works on Capitol Hill. You know, the same building where the insurrection happened. It's saying Donald needs to die. That's also a problem.
Donald needs to die.
Huh?
I said, well, then Donald needs to go. Majority of the work that I do is policy because that's what my degree is in.
Policy?
It's focused in policy. And so I do a lot of, that's why I go to a lot of embassies and a lot of events at the White House.
You went to the White House?
I go to the White House.
So do you have to keep your mouth kind of shut because you're working for a Republican? You can't say?
Well, I don't, yeah.
Get to the point here in a second, but it's interesting. This intern works for a Republican, but the intern's saying, like, I'm not a Republican at all. I'm a Democrat. Good friends with Nancy Pelosi. That's interesting, but it's interesting. This undercover camera angle, it's exposing they're obviously in a public restaurant. James O'Keefe, he's wearing glasses. Like, who was Clark Kent fooling? Really? I am just shocked because James O'Keefe, he's a very well-known face, and if this intern isn't kind of with it enough to know who O'Keefe is and therefore, like, not say what he's saying, you'd think other people in the restaurant would be coming up and saying, hey, James, nice to meet you, or James, I don't like you, or whatever side they're on. But I'm just actually very impressed by the boldness and James O'Keefe being able to, you know, be undercover enough. I guess it's the glasses and the sweater vest. You wouldn't expect James to be wearing a sweater vest.
I really keep it to myself.
Do you like besties with Nancy Pelosi?
I love Nancy. My picture of Nancy Pelosi and I is on my desk.
Gross.
I don't know if your constituents would want to know that, though, huh? Would they be pissed off? They don't care.
If they do, they kiss the crack of my ass. There's a lot of things that I do here, and there's a lot of things that I see with my own eyes. Madison Cawthorn wasn't lying either.
Madison Cawthorn wasn't lying neither. And of course, what that's referring to was Madison Cawthorn exposed that he was inviting to Congress member orgy parties. Madison Cawthorn did not go, but that's what they're referring to.
That man in a wheelchair, that video that came out with the guy who was sitting off the building in the hearing room.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Okay,
yeah.
The guy was blackmailed.
He was blackmailed?
Pretty much.
Whoa.
So most members, they actually have spouses that are married. They have affairs with other council people, Congress people, Congress members in office. And they have, like, parties and stuff.
It's like you say, about sex parties.
Yeah, thanks.
So Congress members, according to this intern named Titus Warren, who says he's seen things with his own eyes and heard them with his own ears, says Congress members have affairs with other Congress members, even though they're married, and they have sex parties. Now, these are our elected leaders that we somehow expect to represent our morals and values. Ladies and gentlemen, as it stands, with what we've allowed to happen, that is an expectation that ain't being met.
I want to talk a lot.
So these parties are like, it gets hot and heavy.
Yeah, it's like an in-house thing. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. But 9 out of 10 times, everybody in there knows. But they actually, that is a fact. They actually do have these parties.
They actually do have these parties. Okay, I'd go to that party. I wouldn't participate, but I'd want to see who's doing what, who's doing who. That'd be interesting. And probably gross. Have you seen most members of Congress?
Does that happen a lot? Like people do something sexual and they blackmail? Have you seen that?
So it happens every now and then.
But they get blackmailed.
Exactly.
Oh, that's Epstein tactic, ain't it? Hey, members of Congress, come over to this sex orgy and just, you know, do whatever you want. And that'll give us good blackmail material to control you. But we're supposed to represent our constituents. Meant to say constituents. Well, you don't really want to do that now, do you? Because look at what we have on you. Screw my constituents. Well, that's more like it because you just screwed all these other Congress people.
because it's like they have a leverage of, like, if you have something like that, it's called leverage. And so,
that's what blackmail is.
And what they do, they get you to get stuff from them. Majority of the members, they come late, I'm always, not at two times, come post from the night before.
Come to sex party.
So, on the voting. You already have a piece of paper that says you're out of votes.
That's what you want with your representative. Someone else hands them a piece of paper that tells them how to vote. Thank you for representing me in a way that helps you not get caught for doing what you've done.
Known as a suggestion. It's not a suggestion.
It's not a suggestion.
It's what we need you to vote.
Because we know we have information about you.
Right. They have a group chat that they tell people how to vote.
They tell people how to vote,
yeah.
And they get information about them and use it as blackmail.
In a way, yes.
Madison Cawthorn, the man who in turn just said, yeah, he wasn't lying when he claimed there's congressional sex parties and orgies. So let's hear it from Madison Cawthorn himself.
A party like this, I've been invited to them. My instant reaction to that is, you know, especially the blackmail piece that it seemed like this individual was talking about in this piece. You know, that's something that I experienced firsthand.
But doesn't it make you feel, like, guilty sometimes?
I get my check and I'm good.
You get that money.
I'm good.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I like to buy nice things.
You like to buy nice things? So you get that money, you like to buy, what type of nice things do you like to buy?
I love a Louis. So the one thing I want is a duffel. I want the duffel.
I like a lot of things.
By the way, no. James O'Keefe now is gone to presumably a Louis Vuitton store with Titus Warren, the intern. Now you can see James O'Keefe a little bit better and just watch, like, he's acting gay, his speech as well. And it's just funny watching James O'Keefe do that because I don't think he does it very well, but he did it good enough to get away with it. And that's not a knock on James O'Keefe. It's just, he's like, I don't think he's gay, but he's definitely trying to act like it.
This will become your normal, you know.
So, to be a free, fair, democratic country, we absolutely need representation based on an election. But the elected representatives, it sounds like based on this piece from James O'Keefe, the elected representatives are not always representing those who elect them. They are at times representing their own self-interest in not getting caught via being controlled by blackmail so they can avoid having the, what we might call, immoral things that they've done. Avoid having those exposed, and that's what coerces them to vote certain ways at times. Here's the piece of paper, not a suggestion. And of course, once again, to watch the full video that James O'Keefe published, and check out James O'Keefe on Twitter. And this is put out through his OMG Media Group, O'Keefe Media Group. See ya, Project Veritas. Y'all got rid of James O'Keefe. Look at you now. With that said, my beautiful freedom-loving friends, let me know in the comments below what you think of this expose. Does it surprise you? And whether it does or doesn't, what do you think about the reality that some of our members of Congress are participating in sex orgies and having...